The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Beth Moore warns against the God of me.
I go through my closet pretty often because I'll stop at a shirt. My rule is, if you have not worn it in the last year, girl, you don't get it. Get rid of it. Sometimes toward the end of that year, I go, I start putting on all manner of things. And I look just strange. I look kind of out of character at work, but I'm just going like, my year's almost up. And so,
Don't forget to remember, next on Life Today.
Thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to share this time with you. I'm James Robison. My wife Betty and I welcome you not only to Life Today, but also to Wednesdays with Beth. She's going to be talking about something that I think has far greater importance than we realize. Throughout the Scripture, God prompted His people to remember, 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 don't forget. And honestly, it seems that we have forgotten history's lessons, or we have rebelled against remembering. We've refused to do it. It's important that we do it. And for God to tell us to do it and understand why, I think Beth's going to help us see that very, very clearly. And Betty and I want you to know that we consider it a real privilege to be able to come into your home or wherever you happen to be watching and literally extend to you hands that care, hearts that really love you. You say you don't know me. Well, we would love you. You say, would you like all of my ways? I don't know about that. But in spite of them, God loves all of us. And He is able to help us walk out of any problem, face any challenge, and He will give us the grace and the guidance to go through it. Remember, don't fail to. Don't forget to remember. Here's me.
Look back at verse 8. I told you we'd be back to it, where it talks about this good land. For us, our Canaan is it's a good land. Wherever He places us, that's a good land. It's going to be a fruitful land. And look at this, because He said the land the Lord your God is giving you, a good land. He talks about the water in it. And then He says in verse 8, I want you to count with me. Every single time I say a kind of produce, I want you to count. So with the first one, I just want everybody to say one and then on. A land of wheat. And barley,
two,
of vines,
three,
and fig trees,
four,
and pomegranates,
five,
and olive trees,
six,
and honey.
Seven.
All right. How many?
Seven.
How many?
Seven.
Isn't that interesting? It's going to be a good land. The description begins with a good land and said, and God is giving you this good land. It closes in these verses from 8 to 10, or 7, I believe, is where it starts with good, and then closes up at 10, yes, verse 7, into a good land, and it closes up in verse 10, for the Lord your God, for the good land He has given you. Within that good, He gives us exactly 7 kinds of produce. Now, you know there were other things, but this is a biblical way of showing us that it will be completely productive. A beautiful number. How many things could He have said? But there's 7 in this description of the good land. It means there will be complete productivity. Notice with me, this is important. So somebody just get their eyes on the page here. Notice that He says in verse 9, it is a land in which you will eat what?
Bread.
Tell me again, you will eat what?
Bread.
And it is a land you will also, look at the latter half of it, that out of whose hills you can do what?
Dig copper.
So He gives them the wheat. In verse 8, He says, it will be a land of wheat, but they're going to eat bread. So, I mean, if they can just sit and stare at their wheat stalk and go, in Jesus' name, be bread. In Jesus' name, be bread. They can take the wheat stalk and they can put it, they can put a piece of turkey on it. I was going to say ham, but they couldn't put ham on their sandwich. We're free. We can. They could not. I mean, you can put it all, but it's going to be crunchy. It's going to be a little odd. But in the land of productiveness, where our productivity begins to really live itself out in full throttle calling for that season. We may not come into what we have truly been called to do for some amount of years where we realize this really is where all of this has been moving toward, but where we're getting to be productive. You will notice that in the wilderness, he gave them manna. He brought it to them. Do you know that the moment they got into that promised land, that manna ceased? The moment. You know what he gave them then? Wheat. You know what he's saying? Go fix your bread. Yeah. I'm giving you the tools. I'm giving you the ingredients for you to be able to come through with something marvelous. But if you just sit back, because we get all confused here and we think, he was doing all of this and now he's like, what is he giving you? Put it to work. Because in our land of productivity, we become the wonder, us the person who is able to do things through Christ that would be impossible in our flesh. We want him to just, I want my manna, I want my manna. Okay, well, we can just sit right there and then we'll never ever grow up into our productivity. Never. Because we cease to, we're not going to cooperate and do any of the work. Oh no, we're not going to have any spiritual disciplines. You know, we're not going to do what it takes. We look at somebody else that we think is productive, and we hear something, we say, okay, now what does your life kind of consist of? And then we think, I don't have time for that. It was so funny because here recently to my office came a call to a really, really good friend of mine. They're just my best friends at Living Proof. And she received a call that from a woman in Japan doing the Bible studies. And she said, well, is there a shorter version of the homework? Because we are busy here. And we just laugh because, bless her, we're busy here. You know, we all got our 24/7, and we all get to decide what we're going to do with it. We all get to decide how we're going to manage our time. But listen, if your wheat's going to become bread, you're going to have to spend some time with Jesus. You're going to have some discipline. That's what it's going to take. We're going to have to do the thing. We're going to have to go out there and step in it, put our weight into it, put our faith into it, and be part of it. You'll also see, did you see that we have to dig? Everybody say dig.
Dig.
I want you to feel it. I want you to see it under your finger. We have to dig the copper. He said, you know, go make bread and go dig out copper. Do you remember when they left Egypt? They just threw their treasures at them. Just threw them. Here, it's our gold and silver. And I mean, the Egyptians were just like throwing their treasures at them. It was just given to them right in their hand. But they get into the place of their productivity, and he goes, dig it. Dig it out. Everything will not be put in your hands because this is your place of productivity where you begin to know what I can do, not just for you, through you. This was all about what I could do through you, not just for you. I want to use you to show the great power of my name. That's what this is about. So we get there into our place of productivity, and listen, if we're willing to work with him, some things happen. And I mean, it's like stunning things happen. And it's like, whoa, God, I can't believe you did that. And because we've been in bondage and we've been through a lot, we're still very, very humbled by it. So we'll just serve anyway. I mean, just Lord, if you can use me, just use me. We'll serve anyway. We'll serve anybody. For a while. And then, well, I don't want to do that. And I don't really like doing that for them. And it gets to where it matters more and how we do it. And, you know, no one even appreciates me. And we just get where I don't want to just serve anyone. And I don't want to just do anything. I need some press here. And then we start taking God for granted. And then indiscernibly, we start taking God's credit. And then we are dropped to our grounds back in bondage. And it all starts again because we have bowed the knee to the God of me. Let there be no mistaking that the biggest idolatry problem that we will have will be the God of me. And the whole process starts again. I love the New International Commentary of the Old Testament translation of verse 14 when it says, "Then your heart will be lifted up and you will forget the Lord your God." It says this, "Then you may become proud and forget the Lord your God." When we are in pride, even when we just are in pride because we're right, and maybe we are, but we're in pride about it, we cannot remember God and be full of pride at the same time. There's not enough headspace for it. One overwhelms the other. We're either full of ourselves or we're full of our givenness to the Lord our God, but not ever at the same time. Jot down Jeremiah 22, 21, if you're able. 22, 21, it says, "I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not listen." There's something about it. See, if we could handle the giftedness that God would like to give, if we could only handle it. But he said, here's what happens. I prosper you, and then I try to speak to you in your prosperity, and you don't listen to me. Because there's something about like being like desperate that really opens up the ears, doesn't it? But then there's just like now we're full and all of a sudden we can't hear him anymore. And I just want to submit to you that we, all of us, particularly some of us, I throw myself into that category. I mean, I'll talk physically for just a moment. We've already said intangibly just the giftedness and the anointing that God is willing to give us in our productivity. But we also, in this nation, in the West, in the prosperous West, we are up to, picture it, because the Lord gave me this picture this morning, we are up to our ears in stuff. Up to our ears. And it's very important that we know it's up to our ears because it's in our ears. It's in our ears. And some of it, and this is between you and God, some of it we need to give away. You know, one of the things that God has really put on my heart, he goes, you know, Beth, use it. Have it to use. But if you don't use it, lose it. In my closet, and I go through my closet pretty often. And one of the things I sit and I speak out loud to myself because I'll stop at a shirt. My rule is if you have not worn it in the last year, girl, you don't get it. Get rid of it. Sometimes toward the end of that year, I go, oh, I start putting on all manner of things. And I look just strange. I look kind of out of character at work, but I'm just going like, my year's almost up. And so, and I say out loud to myself, this happened just about a week and a half ago. I say to myself, girlfriend, you wear it or share it. You wear it or share it. You either put it on your body or you get it out of that closet and out of those drawers. Get rid of it. If you do not wear it, you share it. And so that's just part of what, just to get it. Okay, we're up to hearing stuff, but if we're up to here, we can't hear. So at least get the stuff down to the shoulders. Get the stuff out of the ears. Is that making sense to anybody? I'll once again display a grasp of the obvious, but the only way we're not going to forget is because we're going to deliberately remember. You will forget if you do not deliberately remember. You won't just like naturally keep it. You'll have to think, I purpose to remember where my God has brought me. So don't forget to remember, and there's going to be a couple of them, just a few. Number one is this, back based on verse 2 where it says, and you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God brought you. I had you say the whole way before, but this is a new moment. So everybody say the whole way.
The whole way.
So the first one is don't forget to remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you. The whole way. Now, verses 14 through 16 describe this way, and it talks about this great and terrifying place and the scorpions and all the frights that were there. But then it talks about how they thirsted, but then it gets into, listen, I brought you water from a rock. Just go there with me. Maybe we've been in this so long that we have lost sight of that, but I just want you to picture being really thirsty. And like then a rock is hit and a rock, and out pours this fountain, cool, refreshing water. I want you to picture it. And he says then, and I brought you manna the whole way, all that it entailed. great and terrifying. Two main versions. The ESV says that terrifying, the terrifying part. The NAS says terrible. I want you, as you look back over your journey with God, it's important not only to remember the good parts, but what are those three words again? The whole way. Say back to me, the whole way. Not only the good parts, but also the terrible parts or the terrifying parts. Now, I'm not saying go back and relive the whole emotion, but remember it. Remember it. Never forget how terrible or terrifying our times of bondage were. Never. Never. It should be still so implanted on our mind. Not the guilt of it. Not the ongoing bondage of it, but that the feeling of what it was like to live apart from our total submission to the authority and the freedom that is in Christ. To remember what it was like to be in complete bondage. That's very, very important. And for me, it was not only terrible, it was terrifying. I terrified myself. It just wasn't things around me. I mean, plenty of those terrified me, but I terrified my own self. But I also had, when he was bringing me out, I have water from a rock. Not physically, but I can't even tell you, fed me, manna. I mean, I ate the word like it was ambrosia. I can't tell you what it tasted like to me. And I jotted down in my notes, remember the awful and the awesome because both provoke awe. I just want you to see those two words in your mind. Here's awful and here's awesome. But both of them provoke awe. When God says, lest you forget and not fear the Lord your God, that fear is awe of Him. Awe of Him. And the awful awes me before God. And the awesome just awes me before God. That everything would bring us to a place where we're just like awed by God.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Boy, Beth, you express it so well. And you know, what an awesome God we serve, what an awesome God we can know. And Betty, He is awesome beyond description. And we can know Him, and He loves us, and He cares about us. And He not only wants to be involved in our lives, I believe that one of the greatest joys we experience in this life is allowing God to use us to express His heart and His love to others. Absolutely. God's given us that privilege.
It is, and it is a privilege, James. It's a privilege to know Him and to love Him and to allow ourselves to be used by Him and to be a blessing to others. That's the purpose, I believe, that we're here.
There's no question about it. And I want to just say a big thanks to all of you for the way you express your gratitude to us here on Life Today and with the Outreaches of Life, for inviting you to participate in literally changing lives with love expressions. I want you to go into a situation right now that is horrific, where people are literally held captive in the sex trafficking. God is giving us together the ability to get them out of this pit of despair, where they're being used and tragically abused. Watch very closely and know this, we hold the answer.
This is a prison. Not a real prison run by a government and police officers, but it is a prison nonetheless. Room after room contains not much more than a bed. Depraved visitors to these types of prisons pour millions of dollars into human trafficking worldwide. The prisoners are scared young girls held captive by violent slave traders. But the prisoners that live here did nothing wrong. They've broken no laws. The girl in cell 4D is innocent.
ไว้ตัวบ้านนึงแต่ในหัวของเขาว่าจะมาฉันนั้นเลยนั้นมันเอาลงไปมันก็ตั้งนั่งหัวเก๋ไว้ตัวนี้มันเอาลงไอ้สูงจริง
Oh boy, let me just tell you. And since she cried out, God has saved her. She's given her life to Christ, and she's out of that brothel, that pit of destruction, where, as she said, she didn't have any control over her body. My heart breaks to think that girls are trapped. It's not like these girls went out to have a trade that was, an inappropriate prostitution role in life that they chose. They were captured. They're held captive. And the people that come in there are held captive too. And only God can set them free, only the grace of God. And what we do, Betty, is we go in the missionaries, first thing we do is we rescue children before they get them, and the predators get them. Then we get the ones that are there, and we work carefully to get them out. And that's the case there. And then we rebuild. And Betty, it's an incredible outreach. You always say it's hard for you to talk about this. This is not some part of something you ever really knew anything about.
It's but
you can do everything about it, though.
Absolutely. And we want to. I heard her say there's no hope. God is her hope. And yes, these precious children need to know there is a God, and He will save them. And He will use us to be a part of that connection to their lives so that they can get out of this lifestyle that they never asked for. They don't want. She said, I don't want to do the things with my body that they're making me do. I feel like my heart is captured. My heart is not free. Let's join together and let's make a difference in these precious children's lives. Let's set them free. Let's set their hearts free in their lives.
And Betty, it's important for our viewers to know that you are the reason that we talk to you about this. See, when a missionary shows us a need, something very real, it's on their heart. They planted their life in the midst of that pain. Then we bring it to you. And you've heard their heart, and I think the heart of God. But unless you extend your hands, enabling His hands, we really are limited. Unless you care, we don't continue to share, because we can't do something that we're not able to do together. We can just weep over it. But you said, as viewer, we want to do that. So here's what we're asking you. It takes $128 to rescue someone out of this trafficking. $128. Can you do that, or can you give something toward that? We have some very special gifts to give you. Betty's story, free to be me. You can be free to be you. They can be set free. It's a great story. A beautiful journal for you to journal in. An application study Bible, a life application study Bible will bless you. Would you make that gift, enable us to rescue a child, or give all you can toward it? And then we've got to rebuild the life center in the Ukraine that was burned and damaged terribly. We're going to have $275,000 just for that. We need a miracle. We need a lot of people to step up and say, I'll give $1,000 to that. I'm praying 275 people will do it. But whatever you can do, listen, you've said we want to do the will of God. We want to rescue those people. You said you want to do it. Would you dial the number, take your bank card, and make the gift God put in your heart? Please do it. Or go online, lifetoday.org, and say, here's the gift God put in my heart. We want to bless you with gifts to encourage you. But you're giving them not only hope, you're giving them the help they need. Thank you for doing it.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent boys and girls, many very young, are being forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can help reach, rescue, and restore thousands of children from the horrors of the sex trade in Thailand, Cambodia, India, Ukraine, and many other nations. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help reach, rescue, and restore one more child from the horrors of their kidnappers. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Free to Be Me, Betty Robison's updated account of how she moved from fear and insecurity to true freedom. You'll also receive the companion journal for your quiet time and daily reflections. With your gift of $128 or more to help rescue a child, be sure to request your copy of the Life Application Study Bible. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help rebuild the Life Center in Ukraine destroyed by fire, or $1,280 to help rescue 10 children, and you may request the limited edition bronze sculpture titled Christian. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You are going to be blessed. This is absolutely a fantastic Life Application Study Bible. The notes, the guides, the way we can apply it and understand it, it is phenomenal. And then those of you that may not know Betty's story, Free to Be Me. The very fact she's sitting here by me and has been now for so many years, not only as mother, grandmother, wonderful wife, helper, but to be on television is the impossible. The freedom she expressed, this is her story. And you're going to be blessed if you get it. Also, she's giving you a journal, and this is for any gift, and that you'll be able to journal the things that God is showing you in the Word, in your Life Application Study Bible, as you read Betty's story. Thank you so much for your help. Tell your friends about life today and tell them about Beth Moore being here on Wednesdays. And God bless all of you for being with us too. Thank you so much for watching.
Awaken to God's wonder with Margaret Feinberg tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.